Welcome to City on a Hill, where we believe, belong, become, and build. We are a loving and caring community located in Crab Orchard, West Virginia, led by Pastor Damon Davis. Whether you're listening for the first time or you're a regular part of our family, we are so glad that you're here. At City on a Hill, we believe in reaching out to everyone with the love of Christ. Make sure to visit us online at cityonahillwv.com for more info on how to get connected. Now, let's dive right into the message from today and grow together in Christ.
So years back, Israel was at war as they are now, but the enemy was firing rockets into Israel and they was having a lot of problems hitting their targets. So they interviewed Hamas and they said, what's the problem? They said, their God changes the trajectory of our rockets. So they would try a different rocket. The same thing would happen. At what point do you just try the different God? Amen. Amen. I don't understand it. But we have a God that fights for us. Amen. We have a God that protects us and watches over us. And man, what a good God to have. Amen. 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 If you're here today and you're a visitor, we want to welcome you. Give our visitors a hand. Would you do that? Amen. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 19. I'm going to read this and let you sit down and let you go early today. 1 Samuel 19. I want to start reading with verse 18. The Bible says, 1 Samuel 19 and 18. So David fled and escaped and came to Samuel to Ramah and told him all that Saul had done to him. And he and Samuel went and dwelt in Naoth. And it was told Saul, saying, behold, David is at Naoth in Ramah. And Saul sent messengers. Listen to this story. Listen to this. If you've never read this or know anything about this, it's cool. And Saul sent messengers to take David. And when they saw the company of the prophets prophesying and Samuel standing as appointed over them, the Spirit of God was upon the messengers of Saul, and they also prophesied. And when it was told Saul, he sent other messengers, and they prophesied likewise. And Saul sent messengers again the third time, and they prophesied also. If you want something done right, what do you got to do? You got to do it yourself. They went, he also to Ramah and came to the great well. And he asked and said, where are Samuel and David? And one said, behold, they be at Naoth in Ramah. And he went hither to Naoth in Ramah. And the Spirit of God was upon him also. And he went on and prophesied until he came to Naoth in Ramah. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word. Thank you for your promise. Thank you that you're the God that fights for us, God. Thank you for protecting us, watching over us, and all that you do. As we break the bread of life, Lord, help us to understand it. Not only understand it, but God, help us apply it to our life. In Jesus' name we pray. All God's people said amen. Give somebody beside you a high five, and then you can sit down. I heard three slaps and y'all are already down, man. To give you a little bit of background on what's going on here, I assume a lot of times that everybody knows the story. And to a fault, I'll preach past what we don't know. Israel was unlike every other nation. And the way they were unlike every other nation is they was ruled or governed by a prophet. And that prophet's name was Samuel. There came a point in their history where they got tired of being ruled by what saith the Lord. And they wanted a king. All the other nations had a king. They wanted a king as well. So the first king that was chosen was Saul. The reason Saul was chosen, not because he was political, but because he was bigger than everybody else. He stood a head and shoulders above everybody else. Saul was a big dude. And they chose him for his stature. Saul becomes king. Does pretty good at first, but then he starts slipping. And as he's slipping, God is preparing someone else to take the kingdom. I always like to say this, God will never go without a people. So to the older folks in the church that's worried about the church of tomorrow and the next generation, don't worry, God's got that covered. And he had David, and he's getting David prepared, and he's already anointed David, and David comes in, and we know the story of David and Goliath. I assume if you don't know that story, David shows up into the valley. He's there to bring food to his brethren, and he sees the giant in the valley defying the armies of the living God. He says, is there not a cause? David is torn up because of what's going on in the valley. And Saul, the guy that stood a head and shoulders above everybody else, is doing nothing about it. David said, is there not a cause? David goes into the valley. He defeats the giant. And then songs are being written of David. And they're not good songs. Not for Saul anyway. The songs went like this. Saul hath slain his thousands, but David his 10,000s. Let me tell you something about old guys. When young guys come along and can do it better, they get jealous. And Saul was extremely jealous, in so much that he got to the point, Darren, he wanted to kill David. Not only did he think about it, it wasn't something that he just thought of, but he actually attempted to kill David. He told Jonathan, he said, you know what? We're going to bring him in. I want to bring him in. I want to kill him. Jonathan goes and tells David, hey, dad's trying to bump you off. And his Saul's daughter, who's David's wife, helps him get away. And it's very interesting when you read this. The Bible says something very interesting. It said Saul is setting in him his house with his javelin. He's setting in his house with a javelin. When I read that, that kind of blows my mind. That's like if I said, and Randy Halsey was sitting in his living room with his pistol. What would be the point of sitting with that in your own house? Something was tormenting Saul. So much that he was so afraid, even of his own house, that he sat in his house with a javelin in his hand. There was a spirit that began to bother him. They bring David in. David comes in with a harp. He begins to play the harp. And the anointing that was on David drives the spirit away from Saul. Saul, still, same spirit, begins to torment, begins to bother him. He brings David in. There comes a point when Saul, even though all of this is going on, is so enraged that he can't even allow David to do what God ordained him to do, and he takes his shot, and he throws the javelin at David. It sticks in the wall. David had escaped. What a feeling. I don't know about you, but if I'm in somebody's house and they're throwing javelins at me, I feel good to get out of the house. He gets away. He escapes. But here's where the story gets really interesting. Where is he going to go? When David escapes, somehow his mind begins to think. Evidently, he comes to this conclusion, I know exactly where to go. And he goes to Samuel. The truth is, Darren, Samuel should have been a very important person in that time in Israel. Can you say amen? He was a man that God had used and spoke to, and the Bible says never any of his words fell to the ground, meaning that whatever Samuel said, it came to pass. When Samuel spoke, it mattered because he had a relationship with God. The Bible tells us about Samuel in 1 Samuel 3:19, and Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. The reason David went to find Samuel is not because Samuel was his friend, not because Samuel was a good guy, but because of this reason. The Lord was with Samuel. Let me tell you where you need to get when you're in trouble. You need to find the presence of God. I know from time to time, and some of us can testify to this, even as heathen little kids, and we're out doing things we shouldn't do. When we got in trouble, we wanted to find somebody that knew how to pray. We wanted to find somebody that could get us into the presence of God. If you know what I'm talking about, clap your hands to the Lord. It's tough. I got to get to the presence of God. Now, this is what's interesting. I really believe that if David wanted to, he could have turned around and whooped old Saul. He was a warrior. He killed a lion with his bare hands and a bear with his lion, I mean, with his the same bare hands. He killed these beasts with his bare hands. Surely Saul is no greater than they. But David thought more so to run to the presence of God than to fight the battle himself. We got to get this. We got to get this. Your worship is important. Getting in the presence of God is important. You know how important it is? It's super important. Because when the enemy's chasing you, let me tell you what's going to happen. God will protect you in his presence. You got to understand how to get to the presence of God. There's some words in here, and to those that don't know, every meaning, every name in the Bible means something. It's not by happenstance that people were named what they were named, but God did it in a way that it would bring forth revelation and tell a story that we don't read on the surface. So David finds his way to Samuel, but Samuel is in Ramah. Give me my definition of Ramah. Ramah is a height, a high place, lifted up, elevate as a place, listen to this, of illicit worship. A place of illicit worship. How do you worship unlawfully? How do you find a place where it's illicit, it's unlawful to worship? Not only does illicit mean unlawful, but it also means not customary. See, I know where I'm going, so I'm excited, and you're just like, what does that mean? Everybody in here has a custom way that you worship. Amen? You have a certain level of worship that you go to almost every service. It's a minimum amount. What do you do when you worship? You raise your hands like that? A little bit of everything? What do you do when you worship? You like to scream? Has anybody ever sat around Jason and heard him screaming? What about you, Thomas? Come on, let's hear it. Happy feet? And what else? I heard you.
A little bit of shouting.
How's it sound?
Woo!
I don't know about you, but Thomas's woos in church make me happy. I don't know. When I heard Thomas go, whoa, I know it's getting good. So we go to this place, and we get to this certain place in our worship. But then there comes a time when we get beyond the customary. And we get into a place of illicit worship. We get into a place where it's not our customary worship. We get into a place where, and I'm going to tell you right now, when the enemy's after you, sometimes what you need to do is go past your custom and get to the place where God can merely start moving with you and get in his presence into a deeper level than you were last service. Can you say amen?
Amen.
He comes to this place of Ramah. But what's amazing about this is he takes him, this man of God, takes him past that into Naoth. Now you really need to know, don't put Naoth up there yet. We really need to know what this word means. Because there's a place where uncustomary worship will take you that customary worship won't. Can I say it again? Do you ever play the drums different some service than other services? You ever felt the anointing playing the drums? Have you ever played and not felt the anointing? Is there a difference? Well, how was today? He said, so what was you wooing about if it wasn't that good for him? know what's crazy? We can all sit in the same service, and some people can go into the presence of God greater than other people. We can sit in the same service. I've done it. Stephen, I've done it so many times. How was service today? All right. Other people, man, powerful. Because some people came to City on the Hill this morning. Some people came to get in the presence of God, and there's a difference. Some people wanted to go to church this morning. Some people wanted to go to the throne this morning. And it depends on you how far you get. But there's a place. There's a place where illicit worship will take you that customary worship will not. And this prophet of God takes him to Naoth. Give me my definition. Naoth. To dwell, abide, to keep at home. Keyword, rest. Keyword, rest. Through worship that isn't customary, you'll find a presence of God that will lead you to a place of rest. Y'all with me? These words aren't just put in there for just for happenstance. It's God telling us a story. When the enemy's after you, sometimes regular praise just don't get it done. Sometimes you got to make up your mind, I'm going to worship God with everything that's in me. David understood this time and time again. How do you know, preacher? Because there came a point when they brought the Ark of the Covenant back and it wasn't working out the customary way. And so David said, I'm not going to do this according to custom. Here's how we're going to work this. We're going to bring the presence back, but we're just going to take six steps and then we're going to stop and we're going to worship. I know this isn't customary, but I serve a God who isn't customary. And if you're going to usher in the presence of God back in your life, sometimes you got to make up your mind, I'm not stopping at customary. I got to touch him. I got to touch him. It made the trip a lot longer, but it made it worth it. Six steps. Stop, break everything down, and let's worship. Your worship is important. It's more than just emotion. It's spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. God builds a hedge around us when we're in his presence. So I want you to imagine. Saul says, hey, go down there and get David. These messengers, scholars teach us, were men of war. They're not going down there to just ask him to come back. Hey, Saul told us to tell you to come back up there so he can have another shot. These messengers were come to bring him back. But watch what happens when David is in a place of rest. Watch what happens when David has went through non-customary worship to get to a place of rest. The enemy is approaching to take David, but when they get close, something comes over them. See, I'm tired of being concerned about our young people, sending them into school systems that teach and dishonor God. I'm tired of worrying about them and those around them rubbing off on them. We got to get to the place where the Spirit of God is so strong in us that the people that we come in contact with changes them and it doesn't change us. Oh, do you hear me? To my young people, carry it with you. Don't let them change you. Let you change them. When they show up to bring you harm, I believe in a God that's able to have a spirit to come over them and they begin to become like you. He is this Samuel. He's got a school and he's got some sons of the prophets down there. He should have been a voice in Israel. Man, this is so good. Can I have a minute? This is a side note, but this is so important. Samuel should have been a major voice in Israel, but he's not. As a matter of fact, Saul doesn't even know where he's at. He gets to the town and he says, where are they? How are you a king and not a king of Israel and not know where the main prophet is? I'm going to tell you how. It's because you stopped leaning on the arm of God and you leaned on your head and shoulders. I'm not talking shampoo either. You're leaning on your own ability and you're not leaning on the arm of God. But Samuel never stopped leaning on the arm of God. Oh, this is so good. So here's what Samuel could have did, Chrissy. He could have said, well, I was a really big time prophet, but now I'm not, so forget him. There's a fine line between the prophetic and the pathetic. And I've seen both. Anybody with me? But here's what Samuel did. Being a true prophet of God, he went and found him some young men. He went and found him another generation. He found the next generation. And he said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pour what's in me into you so that you can understand what it is to get into the presence of God and hear something from him. I don't care what the king's doing. I don't care what's going on out there. I know what I got works, and I'm going to pour it into somebody else. You want to talk about discipleship? Every one of us needs to find somebody that we can pour what we have in us into them. I don't care what is going on in politics. I don't care what's going on across the pond. I don't care what's going on in China. I don't care what's going on in the White House. I care this. I've got something to give, and we need to give it. We need to pour this out. So much that when the enemy come to take David, let me tell you what David understood. He knew exactly where to go. I said, David knew exactly where to go. Let me get down there in the presence of God. Let me get down there to Samuel, because if I can get there. So here you are, the enemy. The enemy's coming, but we have a God that fights our battles. The enemy's coming to take him, and all of a sudden, I would love to see this. I don't know. I'm a very visual. I got a good imagination. I picture all this stuff in my head. Do you? When you read the Bible, I'm just picturing these guys are walking along, and at one minute they're like, we're going to get David. And the next minute they're, I don't know exactly how it took place. But there came a moment when something overtook them. And you know what that was? That was the Spirit of God. So Saul says, go get him. Now you go get them. The second group goes in. You always send your expendables first. Then you send your tear up guys the second time around. He goes down there. They take off. They get down there. I don't know when it happened, but somewhere in the trip, the Spirit of God came on them, and they started prophesying. And then the third group shows up, and they started prophesying. And then Saul shows up, and he starts prophesying. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying when we get in the presence of God and we rest in his presence, it doesn't matter what enemy comes against us. Our God will overtake that enemy. I believe that with everything that's in me. I believe that when we get to the point when we're resting in his presence, it doesn't matter. If God be for you, then who can be against you? There's a hiding place in him. Psalms 119:14, thou art my hiding place, my shield. I hope in thy word. You're my hiding place. You are my hiding place, a place where the enemy cannot follow you. You may not need this today, but you will need this. A place where the storms can't follow. A place where the struggle can't follow. A place where the worry can't follow. A place where the anxiety can't follow. A place where the oppression can't follow. A place where the depression can't follow. A place where the overwhelming cannot follow. A place where the struggle can't follow. But when you get in that place, it's a place of rest. It's a place of peace. And you know what? It's a place that this world knows nothing about. But as a Christian, I can walk in a place that is joy unspeakable and full of glory. I can have peace that passes all understanding. They don't get it. They don't know about my hiding place. I got a hiding place. I've got a hiding place. I've got a hiding place. So where do you go? Is Calgon still a thing? Is it? Do y'all know? Does anybody use Calgon? Am I saying it wrong? Am I saying it wrong? Okay, thanks. Does anybody remember that old commercial? Calgon. What was it? What was it? Take me away. It was, what was it? Lotion? It was bubble bath? Y'all don't have a clue, do you? Everybody's like, I don't know. What was it? We just know Calgon, take me away. We don't know what it was. You ever seen the commercials where the lady's like, she tells her that she's like pregnant and she's not pregnant, and then it says, want to get away? You know, in those moments where you just want to disappear and get away. Sometimes the struggle is so real that, I don't know, lotion, bubble bath, I don't care what it is, it's not going to take care of it. Amen. You're not going to get away, so you got to have a hiding place. Amen. Y'all remember my story, man? Black church ain't like white church. White church, we practice all of our songs. We know every note. We got them all lined up. Black church ain't like white church. Black church, you'd just be sitting there and all of a sudden somebody will just start singing. And it's usually pretty powerful. We're sitting in black church one time and this lady goes, out of absolutely nowhere. Nobody asked her to sing. Nobody invited her up to the podium. She wasn't on the set list. And she said, I got a hiding place. I went, and the church, the whole church went, boom, I got a hiding place. Everybody. And man, it was boom. And man, that thought stuck with me. I got a hiding place. I said, I got a hiding place. I got a place where I can go when the enemy's coming. Not just one row, but a second row. Not just the second row, but a third row. Not just the third row, but when the very enemy himself comes after me, I got a place I can hide in Jesus that no enemy. Oh, I got victory in that place. If y'all remember when our missionary came to church, couple years ago, I watched him to see how he worshiped. I don't know, maybe it's wrong of me. I don't know, but I wonder how my missionary worships. And if y'all remember, I don't know if y'all remember this or not, but Joey didn't worship much that Sunday. I was like, man, what's his deal? What was it? Well, you don't point to him? Yeah. Because he got up, and then when he got up, he clarified it. He said, hey, guys. He said, I'm sorry. He said, but I tried to worship today, but Darren was all up in my worship space. You remember that? Darren said, I don't care. I really don't care. I don't care that you're here. I got to worship, man. And I know it's a little tight today, but I got to worship, man. I know that there ain't a whole lot of elbow room, but I got to worship. I got to worship. Why do you got to worship? Because it takes you to a place. Yeah. See, some of y'all are too polite. Some of y'all want to worship and you're too polite. You're really scared what somebody might think about you. But when you got an enemy after you, you go past the customary. Yeah. I've seen people climb over benches to get out enough room to worship. I've seen people kick other people's purses because they needed to worship. I went to a church one time where a guy worshiped and they armbarred this guy every time because he's going to tear the church apart. I think, where's Tracy? She's in nursery. Wow. That dude got going and two guys on each side. He'd get free. Pastor White used to say it like this. If you can't help me, Don't try to stop me. Get out of my way. Don't try to block me. You got to get to that point in your life where you say, you know what? I got to get in the presence of God. I don't care what the service is like. I don't care what the song set is. I got to get in the presence of God. I've got an enemy after me, and I need to get in the presence of God. Get me to that place. Get me to Naoth. Get me to Ramah. Get me to the place. I know it ain't customary, but I ain't customary. I've got an enemy. Come on, come on, Josh, come on. I told you I'd let you go early. What time is it? 12:30? Wow, it's almost sinful to get out this early. There's a difference when you make up your mind to get in God's presence. But you know the way we approach service? You don't have to amen me. You don't have to raise your hand at me. I know. We say, man, I hope they do good today. I hope the worship team does good today. And you know what we gauge? We gauge our worship off of what they play. I know because I do it too. I come in, I'm like, well, oh, and this is for church. I'll say, Tracy, what are y'all singing today? And she'll give me the set list. I'll go, eh. Ah, really? Who came up with that? Dave. Thanks, Dave. You know what I've had happen before? I said, and I got here. I don't know. Y'all do some songs better than they do on the radio. That's real. You know how I know? Because Tracy will make me listen to it driving down the road. And she's like, what do you think about that? I was like, I don't know. It sounds just like all the rest of theirs. And then I come to church and something happens. And Tracy's like, I thought you didn't like that song. I said, there was something different about it. There was something different. Sometimes it's them. Sometimes it's me. Sometimes it ain't about them at all. Sometimes it's about me. I need to get in God's presence. And that they could sing some southern gospel, sin-kicking country song, and I'd be okay with it. If y'all don't know what sin-kicking country is, it was southern gospel radio station, and they played sin-kicking country. And it was the Cooks and the McCaneys. If y'all don't know who that is... No, some of it wasn't even that good. Some of it was build an altar of stone for man's sin to atone. And I was like, the supreme sacrifice for me. Woo! How we do it. Woo! Man, sometimes it don't matter the rhyme or the reason. I got to give him praise. I got to lift him up. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's so worthy. Amen. Let's praise him, Josh. Come on, Megan. Come on, let's stand up. Let's praise him. Let's praise him. I don't care what they sing. Praise him.